Good morning. Good morning. I am going to get myself situated while you come in. Coach Ashley, when you're in, if you'll raise your hand. Everyone else, keep your hands down at this point. There you are, Ashley. Welcome. Just going to get Coach Ashley up here on stage with me. Good morning. Hi, everybody. You are here for the 100-pound call. So if you identify as someone who has 100 pounds to lose, this call is specifically for you. Now, everyone else is welcome to be here and gain knowledge and learn and apply the coaching to their own life. And the people who are going to raise their hand are going to identify as someone who has 100 pounds or more to lose. Let's do some of just that housekeeping stuff that we do first thing when we start a call. Obviously, I am No BS Coach Julie. I am doing this call with you today. I look forward to working with you. As many of you know, I am on my own 100 plus pound journey, really 150 pound journey. And in that 92 pound lost range right now, as of today, Coach Ashley is in the chat. She is going to be in all caps. She's not yelling at you. We want her post to stand out above the crowd. So please make sure your chat is set to everyone. Mine is currently set to host and panelist, which means only Ashley can see my messages. So I'm glad I told you so that I could tell me. That way we can all see what you have to say. If you have a question, Ashley will answer it in the Q&A. I might grab one or two depending on how the day goes. And then if you have chat questions, please feel free to chat it up and Ashley will get you. Yes, someone said we got the West Coasters in the house. We got Seattle and then Southwest Washington. Although I am literally on the path today with the U-Haul in the driveway to be an Oregon Coaster full time. So welcome. I'm going to ask you, any member who identifies as having 100 plus pounds to lose and you have something you want to work on today, please raise your hand. I'm going to just go through however many of you raise your hand and I can. So the first person I see is Mary. So Mary, I'm going to promote you. We're going to get started. Mary L. Go Warriors. That's right. They're in the playoffs today, yeah? I remember seeing something about that. 100 pounds to lose. Mary, I'm going to ask you to unmute and start your video. Yes, Rosalind. Well, Mary gets settled. Good morning, Mary. Just one moment. Rosalind, please put your question in the Q&A and Coach Ashley will answer it. Or if I end up able to get to Q&A questions, I will answer it. Welcome, Mary.
Thanks.
What do you want to work on today?
The most basic thing, following my plan.
Okay.
Staying with it.
Sounds good. Are you planning?
I am. I've been great at planning. I plan every day, no matter what, but sticking with it is, you know, that's, I just think if I could do that, I got this, right?
I agree. So why aren't you?
I think that I just, I give in. I think I rationalize like, oh, I'm so stressed or I'm tired. Or I'll think this is like, I'll rationalize. I can substitute. I think there might be a lot of reasons. I just have not maybe fully committed to that next up. Those are some thoughts. What do you think?
I don't know yet. Let's keep talking a little bit more. Okay. So what kinds of things are you planning and what kinds of things are you eating? Tell me the differences.
So I tend not right now to plan. Foods that maybe would be convenient for the situation I'm going to be in.
Okay.
And so there can be just going to get caught. That's a good question. Where I am hungry and I don't have the thing I planned. Okay. So that's just.
Okay. So let me see if I understand before you continue. So you have made a plan. And then you find yourself somewhere in the world where you don't have access to the food that you planned.
Right.
What was your plan of how to access that food throughout the day?
See, probably in that sense, not. When I follow my plan, I have planned the food and brought it with me or, you know, been, but I do think sometimes I'll just get really, you know, running late or, you know, just have to get out the door to work and I didn't throw together my food. So, so I think that I do have to probably to follow my plan, maybe get into that, you know, getting the food or making a broader plan. I could think about that as a possibility.
Yeah. It sounds like you do. I mean, you have a few options, right? Plan things that are accessible to you and create a plan of how you're going to make them accessible. Mm-hmm. So if you're planning food that requires some sort of preparation and you're not planning to give yourself the time to prepare, you're kind of right off the bat, like at the stage of planning, setting yourself up to fail, right? Because
right.
Literally, if you're planning something but not giving yourself the plan time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there's really understanding yourself enough to know where you're going to be, what things are going to be accessible, and how you want to show up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about that part. I know now about the part where you're planning foods and then finding yourself places where you don't even have those foods with you. But tell me about how you plan your day.
Oh, my day not related to food.
Yeah. So how are you ending up so often in places where you don't have accessibility to what you're planning to eat?
It varies, but like, for example, yesterday was a good example of not following my plan.
Okay.
And I had a good plan, I think, but then my daughter came home from school and they had an early out, wanted to go to lunch. And I was like, oh yeah, let's do. So that sort of put me in a track of, I don't know, hosting my daughter and making it fun for her. So that was more, I don't know, rationalizing or just caring about that excitement more than the plan. That's kind of what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that specifically, because that is such a fantastic example. We are all in situations where we've made a plan and then all of a sudden life plans change. And let's see if we can come up with a way for you to actually follow a plan in keeping with what you planned and still do what you did with your daughter. So what was on your plan for lunch that day?
I had some leftover chicken from the night before and I had a bunch of salad greens and good vegetables. Like I had a really good nourishing plan. And I think that she wanted to go to kind of more of a fast food thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't have anything like that.
It didn't have chicken.
It was like bagel place, a bagels, cream cheese place. So
okay.
It didn't. I may have had chicken. It was kind of more cream cheese bagel kind of thing.
Are you familiar with Corinne's, like the phases of change and that sort of percentage of the 20-80 waking up your brain and then the 40-60 and the 60-40 and the 80-20?
Not really, no. So that sounds intriguing. Okay, talk to you about that.
Yeah. So we have sort of, Corinne has designed a system of sort of the phases of change, which is out there in the world called all different kinds of things. But as we develop new habits, we start by like waking our brain up. And that is about 20% of the time we're doing something and 80% of the time we aren't. Okay. And then.
Okay. I think I'm at 20-80.
Okay. So 20% of the time you are on your plan and 80% mm-hmm. of the time you aren't. But the interesting thing about this is you have a new habit stage, like fully developed new habit. You're doing something 80% of the time and 20% of the time you aren't. So mm-hmm. I want you to think about this, like your future self, 20% of the time is going to be off plan. Now, I've done the math with private clients. Most of you guys know I work with one-on-one with clients all the time. And if someone eats on average 3 meals a day, this ends up being something like 18 meals out of 90 in a month, you will be off plan. So you have the opportunity to create a protocol around, say, your daughter, for example, like on early out days, I want to have flexibility to take her to wherever she wants to go. If there's something on the menu that's in keeping with my plan, I will do that. If there isn't, this is 20%. And I give myself permission to do whatever it is with my daughter and know that I'll be off plan. And it's part of my 20%. And your future self is going to have these habits where 80% of the time she's doing it, 20% of the time she isn't. So I want you to think about that for a minute. And what could you do instead in the future so that you could either be on plan or be in the 20% where you are intentionally off plan?
Okay, so what you're saying, so I'm kind of get my mind around what you're asking, but I think so in this case, you know, I used yesterday as a specific example.
Yeah.
I think that I probably would have been okay with that because it wasn't like I had some binge or something, but okay. I think that when I break my plan, I kind of think, well, I broke my plan. Like I'm just, this day is sort of, you know, like not going to be a good day. Like I'm not going to get to check that box. I followed my plan today. You know what I mean? So I think there might be a little bit of that going on.
Yeah.
Maybe I just need to make it more of a micro, like when I keep track of things, it's not for the day, but it's maybe more for meals.
Let's talk about it, Mary. So what?
Okay.
You planned and didn't keep your plan today. So?
Yesterday. So I kind of, it was sort of like, well, today is like on my habit tracker is not going to get that check mark that I mm-hmm. followed my plan, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Which kind of opened up I'm trying to think of like really kind of retrieve what was going on in my mind. Cause I felt like super great in the morning when I woke up and I felt like I got this. And then later I did just sort of indulge, you know, but with not in a way like you were describing where it was like, oh, this is just going to have to be one of those, you know, 20% days. This was more like I just don't think I can do this feeling.
What do you make it mean about you when you go off your plan?
I just think it means typical me.
Yeah. Meaning you what? Know.
Well, just this is, I just do this. This is like, I'm like a person who just kind of sometimes crumbles when it's the end of the week and I'm tired and I'm just sort of, you know, I'm going to turn to food maybe to be that thing.
Okay. So like I just need to kind of see like right now you're talking about it like it's a plan problem and you're trying to solve it through creative planning. But really, this is a mindset challenge, right? Like there's a next layer and your thoughts, this is just what I do. I crumble. Is that true?
Mostly only with food. I'm pretty good with other aspects.
Well, let's talk about it. What does crumbling mean? Like I picture someone, you know, like huddled in the corner, crying, like a true crumble, right? Like I language you're using.
Yeah, that's a good. It's just sort of more like defeated, like not defeated, but just sort of an acceptance of like, well, this is just like, I don't know, maybe I just don't believe in my ability to pull this together.
Yes.
I mean, you know, because it's kind of a habitual sort of, this is in the past. I know we're not supposed to let the past define us, but I just think this is part of my way of, my way of maybe not putting too much pressure on myself in that moment, just sort of releasing a lot of tension through, you know, just, I don't know, accepting this is what I'm going to do. I'm really surprised to hear myself say this because it's not, I don't know that in my conscious mind I think that, but as you're asking me, it's probably what I'm doing.
Yes. And when you have a thought like, I don't believe in my ability, of course at any turn you're like, eh, whatever, I'm going to the bagel place. Eh, whatever. Because fundamentally, you're not like all in. Right now you're thinking I'm going off plan and it means I can't do it. I don't believe in my ability. But what if you're wrong? What if going off plan and keeping going is evidence you are doing it? What if you're wrong?
I would love to be wrong about this little aspect of myself.
What do you think it takes to prove yourself wrong?
I for me to prove myself wrong would be to see myself have success in a consistent enough way that I start just feeling like I can identify around that. Like I see myself as capable of that without a lot of like I don't, one thing I don't like, I mean, I've been a dieter, you know, I mean, I've, like a lot of people here probably have, I've lost tons of weight before. I think there's a little bit of me that feels like I know, like that it's, I don't want to say subconscious, but maybe subconsciously just sort of like, I just know the big deprive is coming, you know, like I just, there's something inside me that's just, I know what you're going to do. You're going to like go crazy on this and then you're going to be, I don't know.
I just want you to.
You're going to go to the other end because kind of a lot of a history of eating disorders. So I am a little protective of myself not to get too panicked around deprivation.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I feel almost like it's easier, better for me emotionally to just be like, okay with who I am.
Well, let's go back. Right. Because right now your old shitty brain is telling you, you know, that diet thinking is coming in. Yeah. You're like, for sure, I know deprivation is coming, you know, and really, I just want you to go back to, I don't believe in myself, because all the rest of it kind of is a subcategory under that. Like, of course, you're going to go back to old, like the deprivation's coming and I don't believe I can do it, you know, but let's just stick with this. I don't believe in my ability to do it. Tell me what you have to do each day, because you talked about consistency and I don't disagree with you that consistency has value, but I get a sense, and you can always tell me if I'm wrong, but I get a sense that there's a judgment piece in that. Like you don't actually believe that 18 out of 90 meals, you're going to go off plan and actually lose weight, or you have a sense that it has to be perfect. And that's why at the first sign of going off plan, you're like, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely there is a perfectionism built into my relationship to food and my way of experiencing past failures. And yeah, yes. I do think that it has to be perfect or I'm not going to make it. I'm going to just collapse or I'm just going to give in if I'm not perfect.
Because perfect means, I think in my mind, I feel like as long as I'm, it's like a something I'm holding on to. As long as I'm perfect, it's going to work.
Yeah. But and in old diet thinking, I just want to interrupt you, Mary. Like in old diet thinking that there's some truth to that, right? Because we've all tried deprivation or counting calories or cutting food types out. And you have to kind of keep doing those things like really intensely to keep getting results. But every one of those tools you learned back then does not apply to no BS.
Right.
When you work on mindset and shifting belief and start to focus on permanency of weight loss, right? It's a very different journey. Mm-hmm. And so right now it's almost like you're trying to apply like all your old rules to this other concept and they don't apply.
Yeah. But, and that may also show up in the food I'm planning.
Okay. Yes.
It feels kind of diet-ish to me because I usually think, okay, well, if I, yeah.
I'm glad you said
that. I think there are a lot of layers because there's also not just following a plan, but like, will I stop it enough if it's so good? You know, like I'll stop it enough if it's a salad.
I'm glad you said boring. Something about like planning diety foods because a couple of times you said like it was a good plan, like as if there's a bad plan.
Okay, that's so good. I'm glad you caught that.
But I think it's really important that you start to practice embracing there's just a plan.
Uh-huh.
And like there really are no bad foods. You may choose to eat more of a food, less of a food. You may notice, like me, like there are certain things that really bother my digestion. And so it's not about dieting. It's like my body doesn't want certain things. So you may decide to eat certain things or not. But right now you're sort of really wrapped around like the perfectionism of like old diet thinking and using that against yourself in this present state. So here's what mm-hmm. I want you to do. I want you for the rest of this month. So today's the 15th. So you've got like 15 days.
Okay.
I want you to look back at your last couple of weeks of eating, and I want you to plan the food you're truly eating.
Like, okay, because I do think I have pretty good track of that.
Okay, so I want you to notice
look at what I actually ate and plan it.
Exactly. I want you to plan food you like.
Okay.
In configurations the way you like it. But I also, so that's just the planning piece. So that's kind of like what you're going to do. But I really also want you to practice something for your brain. I want you to practice reminding yourself that I am going to be an obese woman that loses her weight planning and eating food she really loves when she's hungry and to enough.
Okay. I want to do that.
Okay. And I want you to find me in a few weeks and let me know how it's going so that I can support you like at the next step. What we really want to do is get out of this like big grand perfectionist diet mentality thinking and get into like making micro decisions every day that support you creating a plan you want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Following that plan, creating the wins, and then starting to decide more from a place of love of yourself, not from a place of like perfectionistic diet thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Planning foods and configurations the way you really want to eat them so that you eat when you're hungry and stop at enough without the idea of I just crumble. right? Like this, I want you to think about that as watch this back and just notice all the little subtle ways you're kind of judging, from good food to, you know, crumbling to don't believe in your ability. Like, let's strip it away and start to create doing. You don't have to believe in your ability before you start doing. Let's do it. That gives you evidence that you're doing it. Now you can build on your belief that you can do it. The belief doesn't have to be there as long as you keep going.
I like that. I just have to keep doing it.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Maybe I can make a more generous plan and then stop it enough. So the next coaching call will be, how do I stuff it enough?
Yes, that's fine. You've come on the next call.
Okay, but for now, we're going to just plan
food. Yes.
Okay. Plan the foods that I am eating.
Yes. Create the wins.
That's very helpful takeaway. This has been really helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good to see you, and I'll see you soon. Find me either in Facebook, coaches. You know all the places I am.
Yeah, I'll totally get back with you on Facebook at the end of the month. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good to see you. This is so good because you all, every single one of us, myself included, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't sometimes have doubt if I can do it. When I posted in the Facebook group my before and after at this point picture the other day, and I was telling you about how I was behaving back at the time of my fall, I literally realized how much like I have changed and also how much growth opportunity there still is. We're always learning and growing. And each time I go through No BS, like modules 3 and 4, like the group is kind of doing for the month of April, I find that I'm like more open to applying concepts to my own journey because I'm listening, learning, reading, and doing the worksheets from a different version of myself, a version who's more ready, more able, who's already done it, who trusts herself a little bit more, that knows that she can do it. And all of that perfection of like, this has to be a certain way at a certain pace has kind of gone out the window. What I've really learned, like my one true tidbit to you, is I guarantee it's going to be your way at your pace, your style, your version of these things. You're going to make them work for you. It's not going to be exactly Corinne's way or my way or anyone else's way. You're going to find the ways that work for you, and they are not going to be permanent from today all the way to goal weight. They're going to change as you learn and grow. So Nikki, you're up next. I'm going to promote you. Thank you so much, you guys. I'm getting all kinds of love in the chat. I'm really excited to be here with you. Hi, Nikki.
Oh my goodness. I didn't think I was going to get picked. Okay. I didn't prepare anything.
Okay.
So I think what I want to talk about is, I want to take a breath.
Yep. Let's do it together. Just like breathe in, deep breath. Notice where you're feeling sensations in your body right now. That's like focus on that zone. And just like calm. Tell that part of you, like, I'm good. Like, I'm right here with Julie. Like, I raised my hand for a reason. I'm good.
Well, I partially raised my hand because I've been in No BS for a little bit over a year, and there's two tools that I have not utilized very much. One is Ask Coaches, and one is I have never been coached live.
Okay.
And I realized these are great tools that I want to use more. And I had a really great experience on Ask Coaches recently, and it really supported me. I think I've went through modules 3 and 4 since they came out, and they were fantastic. And I totally agree with you, Julie. Like, it was so great to do them again from where I am at today and see how my thinking is changing and where are my rough spots. And in the first year of No BS, lots of emotion.
Just be with that for a minute. Pause and let that just flood through your body. Because it's telling you something. It's here for a reason.
I realized that I didn't even let myself think about losing weight.
Okay.
Because what I wanted, what Corinne offered me, was for the very first time in my life, the option that I may be able to trust myself with food. Because I honestly believed that I was the person who could never, ever have that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, and I have historically been a lot of scale drama kind of a girl. So okay. I didn't weigh much in the first year and all of that. But what I've uncovered in the last few months is that is also some self-protection of not wanting to admit or say out loud or hope that that significant weight loss is actually possible.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible?
It feels more possible than ever, and that feels scary as fuck.
Tell me why. Me.
Because I wanted it my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have been morbidly obese my entire, you know, since I was a child. And I have gained and lost some weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost 100 pounds about 15 years ago. And I over-exercised and I really hurt myself. Like, I hurt my metabolism and my endocrine system. And it was a really high cost. Mm-hmm. And I know I can't do it again like that, right? Hence being at No BS. So I have a lot of, it's funny because of course I'm hearing Corinne as I'm saying all of these things in my head. And I also realize one of the things is that I don't ever talk about this. Like I shared with some very close friends recently about my weight, and they're like, we have known you for over 25 years and you have never told us how painful this is for you, you know? And I think that that is a lot of my process right now of just like, I've held it so deep.
Yeah. Yeah. So here you are. You're on your first call. We're talking about it. You said it's scary as fuck to believe that it's possible. Tell me why it's scary to think that it's possible.
I don't want to be disappointed again. I don't want to fail, I guess.
What would failing look like?
Well, it would look like not losing the weight or not keeping the weight off.
Okay. Anything else?
giving up, maybe.
Yeah. Does failing look like not trying at all?
Yeah.
Does failing look like being scared as fuck and then keep eating instead of going for it?
Yeah.
I mean, let's like, honestly, one of the best things we can do is just go right to your worst fear. Like, it's a fact. You do not lose all the weight. Yeah. Let's just say we agree that that's going to happen. So do you want to go out learning and trying and getting lots of results in your mindset and some results in your body? Or do you want to go out like not trying at all?
I do. And I think for me too, I've loved the way with Corinne, with this No BS, of that the trying looks really different for me now, because I'm really working on this, you know. And I mean, I have learned, it's something that makes me really happy, is that my body does tell me when I'm hungry and when I had enough, which I really didn't think it would. And it does. Now, of course, it's not that simple all the time. But it really does. And
I just want to offer you, or it is that simple all the time and you just decide to not listen.
Sometimes I decide not to listen.
That's right. But it's still simple. You're just simply deciding to not listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. We don't have to judge that.
Right. Right.
But I don't want you to listen to your story that sometimes it's harder. It's like, it's not that it's really harder. It's the same all the time. You just decide how you're going to address it. So let's go back to it. What we were talking about, like you can just not go for it, or you can decide to expand your definition of success to include mindset, to include all the shifts and all the different things you're trying to make a really expansive definition of success.
Like, I feel like it's success that I'm coming on here and I'm crying and that a bunch of people might watch this, you know?
Yes. So anybody who is out there who is listening to Nikki right now, and this sounds like a stage you have been in, or you can relate to what she's saying, emoji on up here, because this is the moment. You are not alone, my friend. If I could emoji right this minute, I would too. Look at what is happening here. You are not alone. You are not alone here. We are all in this together. Like, you are here. You've already, it's like a big paradigm shift. You raised your hand. You were not prepared. You brought up a topic that is very powerful to you. Like, you can't go back. You can't unexperience this moment.
Yeah. I'm really proud of myself, and I'm really proud of myself for telling my friends. My skinny friends, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so proud of you, Nikki.
Thank you.
So I want to give you some homework too.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. I want you to make a list of like the tiniest, from the tiniest tiny to reasonably big. Things that you can do in a day. And every day for the rest of the month, I want you to look at that list and pick the thing you truly know 100% you could do. And there is no judgment. The tiniest, every single one of them is equal. Whether it's big or little, they are all of equal value in terms of keeping going.
Okay. So a list of the tiny things I can do each day to keep going.
Exactly. On the day that you are really profoundly scared, on the day that you feel like you want to self-protect, right? Like telling yourself, there it is. I'm in that self-protection mode. So based on that paradigm, that doesn't have to change. I'm going to link arms with self-protection me, and we're going to travel through the day together. She can be here. She doesn't have to go anywhere. So with her arm in arm, what's the thing I'm willing to do today?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah. I'm very proud of you for raising your hand. Such incredible work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki.
Bye.
Bye now. All right. I have April. That was so beautiful. I am so proud of you, Nikki. Like, this is not an easy thing. I can remember I was at a live event and raised my hand. While April comes up, I'll tell you. The first time Corinne coached me, raised my hand. And I was talking about something that I truly thought she didn't understand. And in my head, I was like, bitch, like she is wrong. But later it was so profoundly impactful. And I have never forgotten it. And I go back to that moment all the time. I'm so thankful I raised my hand. April, hi, welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Oops, sorry. So I wanted to talk about a lot's changing. I just gave notice at my current job and I'm starting a new job at home. So I've never worked remotely. So I have all these thoughts going on in my head that I'll be home with it all day with everything in the house. And I always hear everybody talking about the pantry and all of that. And I overcame the workplace eating, but I do feel a little anxious. The whole position is very new for me. And thanks, everybody. So I guess I am just feeling all this anxiety about how am I going to handle it? And I just want to make sure that I'm set up the best way I can. So I don't know what to expect for working at home and how to process all of that.
Well, let's start with how do you want to handle it?
I want to handle it that I just do what I've been doing, where I'm still going to meal prep on Sundays. I'm still going to have everything ready and that I just stick with what I normally do when I'm hungry. I have breakfast and my lunch. And then, you know, I want to do everything I've been doing now. And I just don't want to think like, oh, I'm home. So now I can have crackers instead of whatever I've planned, or I just that type of thing, or the stress of new training and not to know what to expect, how to handle the position. And just with so many unknowns, I can just see me maybe, because I went back to emotional eating during this transition. I was very stressed out at work, very emotional, crying all the time. And I did start to eat a little bit more than I was hungry for. And I've leveled that out. I had that time period and I'm really proud that it was just a period and I've still lost through it all overall. But I just want to be like on it so I don't utilize it again through a new transition coming.
So I think it's really interesting that you're super focused on the physical space of the pantry and the food in the pantry.
Yeah.
And I would like to draw attention to, your thoughts and feelings. Like right now you're jumping ahead to like, what can I do to like stay out of the pantry?
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you think there are any other options, like if you could pick a more effective way of supporting yourself, can you imagine that what you do with or without the pantry is not necessarily the highest priority?
I'm sorry, ask me one more time.
Can you imagine that the pantry itself, the physical space and what you do with or without it could maybe not be the challenge that you have?
I think that I'm not sure if the question is what I'm understanding, but I feel like I'm preemptively causing an issue. Is that what you're saying?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, basically you're saying like, I have all this emotion.
Yeah.
The only tool that I have practiced over time, or one of the only tools, is eating. And so like, I'm very worried about me eating. So you're very focused on what you do or don't do, but not so focused on the fact that you have these emotions that need soothing.
Yes, I see. I think I don't know how to soothe them because, yeah.
Why?
When I was so upset over what was happening, I do understand that through a recent call I was listening to where Corinne went back to somebody's younger self. Through that, I learned that when I was younger, I always just wanted to be hugged and told that everything's going to be okay. And I kind of feel like that's part, like I'm feeling anxiety. Like, is it all going to be okay? Is this a risk that's going to be okay? And am I going to know what I'm doing? And am I going to be focused enough at home? And I think I don't know how to process all of that.
That is exactly the direction to go, right? Like you realize that when you're in those moments of insecurity with the feelings, what you really need is like your version of a hug and telling yourself you're okay. And right now, because you've practiced it, right? Nothing's going wrong. I just want to say this really quick. Nothing's going wrong. Your habit brain, you needed comfort.
Yeah.
That little girl needed a hug and to be told everything was okay. And the way that she offered herself that was food.
Yes.
It's practiced. You needed the comfort and you gave it to yourself. So it works. It's just not working for your long-term goals of weight loss.
Right.
So the only real challenge here to work through is how can you start to wake up your brain to practice offering yourself comfort, which you've already identified as a hug and telling yourself it's okay. And I bet there's other things that would be comforting too. Mm-hmm. How do you wake your brain up before you turn to food?
Right. That's yes. And I think that's the question I've been trying to figure out, and you said it much better than I did.
Well, let's just talk, let's explore it. Like, what do you think you could do for yourself at the first sign? Like when you feel the emotion, the stress, mm-hmm. where do you feel it in your body? How do you feel it? Describe it to me.
I have realized that I get very hot in my face and my face turns red and I get hot. Like this all turned, my whole face and chest turn red and it gets very warm and I can feel it through my skin, the hotness.
Okay. So you like literally have a red flag actually.
Yes.
Right. So this red flag happens. You can feel it and you can see it. This is a great, you know how habit stacking, Atomic Habit author, all of a sudden I can't think of his name, but this is what he talks about, habit stacking. So when you feel that sensation first, it's offering yourself like that, like loving, you specifically talked about this area of your body, maybe putting your hand on your heart, reminding yourself like, I'm safe.
Yeah. So I try doing that because I know that's talked about a lot at work when everything's been going on. And I find that when I do that, I pinch my skin and like I go like this and then all of a sudden I'm doing this.
Okay.
Not comforting.
And I'm really glad you've tried that. And no. Yeah. So tell me what else you've tried.
That's all I've tried. I don't think I've really tuned into what would calm me down. I'm not sure. Like, I try to text a friend when it's available, but it's kind of like just a momentary. And then I kind of, when the text is over, I'm right back to where I was feeling. So that hasn't really calmed me down either. I think I'll have more liberty because I'll be home. So I'm not sure if I can think of a different thing since I'm in my own space. Like we're at work now, I can't just get up and walk around. We're at home. I might be able to just like take a step outside if I need to.
I think this is going to be your work, April. This will be your work, like to come up with a list of things you're willing to try, from actually wrapping your arms around yourself and offering yourself the hug that you said you needed. And like breathing through it and like really allowing, like rubbing, patting. There's something about the repetition of patting and rubbing that can be very helpful. Humming can be very helpful. The vibration in your throat, there's a lot of science about that calming the human body, patting your chest instead of rubbing, patting the tops of your thighs with your hands like flat. I want you to make a list of just all kinds of physical things you're willing to do. And I also want to offer you, like, for sure, I understand the idea of trying to text a friend and then you go right back to it. Mm-hmm. I just want to offer you that it makes a lot of sense because you're sort of looking externally for something. That's what food does too, when really you're needing this internal comfort. And that the little girl part of you that talked about needing the hug, it's that part of you that's needing the support. So of course your friend today via text doesn't solve for that because the answers are inside of you. And it's really finding the physical behavior and the comforting words that you find comforting. Mm-hmm. And that really just takes curiosity,
yeah,
experimentation,
yeah,
and practicing things like the hand on heart works for me. Other things don't.
Yeah.
Deep breathing and doing like a box breathing where you count as you breathe in, hold for the same count, breathe out for the count and hold for the count. That really works for me. Some people who do breath work have like almost like a panic attack because they feel like they can't get enough air in their lungs. Mm-hmm. Not everything works for everybody. So the physical hand over the heart didn't work for you, but maybe one of these other things does. And I will show you one thing that I do even on calls. Mm-hmm. I hold my hands together like this. So I latch my fingers and my thumbs are here and I will press my thumb in the palm of my hand and rub, it's like a pressure point there. And that feels like very relieving to me. So like below screen, you can't see me at all. And yeah. I have like my thumb doing this. You can see my psoriasis, everybody. Yes, I have psoriasis. I'll press on the palm of my hand.
Yeah.
I learned these techniques myself. Nobody taught them to me. It takes that curiosity and willingness to experiment with what you need physically. Sometimes I do this. The heat generated between my palms feels like alive.
Yeah.
So I want to offer you like experimentation. Mm-hmm. Like the goal would be to create some space where you get to experiment before you turn to food. So do you think there's a window of time you could offer yourself between the rush of the heat and the red flag of your skin and face?
Mm-hmm.
And like, how quickly are you currently turning to food?
I've been doing really well with not doing that. Since joining No BS, I've done a lot of the work, and I was a intense former binger. I won't get into all of that, but definitely the binging course and all that has helped so much. So it's definitely very different. And when I do eat because of emotion, it's not nearly what it used to be. So it's definitely progressing in the right direction. I would say like I hit a max when it's happening now, like days I'm like dealing with it and I'm okay and I'm moving through it. And then I hit a max where I just kind of break and I don't think about it. And it just happens. Well, it doesn't just happen, but I do it again. And I do bounce back quicker. It doesn't go for as long. But yeah, I think in those moments when it's building, I'm not probably giving or figuring out what I need then to prevent the break, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah. Yes. So I think when you were saying like at home, I probably could stand up, maybe walk out.
Yeah. I think
this kind of moment, it's like, I'm going to get up from the desk, no matter what, I'm going to walk away. Even if walking away is like 6 feet from where you're sitting right now, anything right. to shake up that process, but like, don't go somewhere where there's food, right? I'm going to give myself the space to create a little curiosity and try something different. Here's what I know for a fact. If you want to still turn to food, like if whatever you try doesn't work, the food is always there. So right. you can always go to it. We don't have to judge it that it's bad or has to go away. It's there. That's a system your habit brain designed that works for you. And in the absence of any other comfort, it's fair to offer yourself that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I have worked through that too with the discovery worksheets, like the processing it in a thoughtful way and not putting negative attachments to it and then just moving on. Like those, that has really been helpful. I just really want to focus on how to cultivate something that does work for me that I can more and more get stronger and stronger each time. And I think I'm just feeling panicked because there's so much change coming and I don't know to expect. And I think my brain is just everywhere.
But I really want to like redirect you back to, you started with how to not go in the pantry. Like the pantry was the problem that you have to avoid. And now you're saying like, I really want to focus on finding ways to offer myself this comfort. Like you've already done a mind shift, even just in this few minutes where like the pantry is the end result.
Right.
The allowing and experiencing your own personal red flag moment and how to like first sit through the wave of those initial, that initial heat run, which I want to honor. Like this is exactly how it happens for me too. I get a rage of red that feels like a red tide that starts at the top of my head and comes out the bottom of my feet. And it is a flaming fire that goes through my body.
Yep. It gets me away in all the meetings.
Me too. And that's lovely in some ways, right? Like maybe it's not great how you see it with other people, but it's really great for you because there's no mystery here. That part of you needs the hug, and you know it.
Yeah.
You are already so aware. The only thing you haven't done is created a protocol around how much time you're willing to give yourself the hug in all these different ways that you try to see how they work, mm-hmm. and then learn what actually feels good, mm-hmm. and start offering yourself that. And sometimes still offer yourself food and stay out of judgment around it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Keep me posted. I want to support you. If you need help, you know exactly where to find me. And I can't wait to hear how it goes. Let me know.
Thank you. I feel really grateful to be able to talk to you today. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful you came on. I'll see you real soon.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Bye. All right. We have like 5 minutes left. So if you currently have your hand up and you have a quick question, I want you to leave your hand up. If you have a long question, since we only have a couple minutes, I'd like to ask you to put your hand down. So Lori, your hand is still up. I apologize for that, but we do run out of time here. Someone asked in the chat, can the chat be saved? We post the chat on nobswomen.com on the replay page with the call. We also post the chat. Lori, asking you to start your video. Hi, Lori.
Hello. So I don't know if this is a quick question. Hopefully this is a quick question.
Do our best.
What is your quick advice for people who tend to be high achievers, but this is the one area that when they look in the mirror, they're just like, this is my one lifelong failure. Here it is.
Right. So you're basically like describing my entire life, from education and life success to volunteerism, you name it. I identify as a person who's had wild success and just like only until this last year and a half, like any sort of measurable success with my body. I recommend starting with redefining what success is, like finding success in every day at No BS, like picking a little thing that you truly can do when you do it, identifying it as successfully done, and not only measuring the number of pounds gained and the number of pounds lost. I think this is like one of the biggest challenges for type A, perfectionist, overachiever, is we're so wrapped up in the definition of ourselves. Like it's almost to our detriment. Tell me about you. Like, do you think success is only going to you? I'm like Corinne today. Our landscapey people are outside and it's like loud. Hopefully you can't hear it. How do you measure success for you?
Impact. What kind of impact I can have in the world and for a positive good.
I could cry. Like, that's exactly the words I would use. I can relate to that. So impact in the world. How is your body related to that? How does your body fit into that picture?
Well, so I can go down a negative space of not being a good steward of my body. And so that having negative impact on my ability to impact, I try not to go into that space, but that's where I can go.
Okay. Is there a way, like, you know how Corinne talks about equal airtime, like finding other truths? Is there a way to say that same thing, but from profound love?
You're doing your best.
Okay, that's a really good start. Yeah, what else?
Your weight doesn't have to be a barrier to the impact that you can make in the world.
I agree. That's true. Anything else?
Quickly.
It's okay. What would it be like for you if you were the most incredible steward of yourself, regardless of the pound results, like the best steward? How could you impact more people in the world by being the absolute best steward you could be? Steward of your body, of course, and your mind.
I would have more energy.
Okay.
More focus.
Okay. What else?
My planning of how I spent my time would be more intentional.
Yes.
What I put in my body would be more intentional.
Yeah. Sleep, all the things, not just food, but sleep and caring for yourself. And yes, I guess I just want you to see that, right? Like, as I'm using my own story to support you, it's like, as I've been on this journey alongside you, with you, for you, from you, I learn and grow with members every day. And that affects my ability to have impact. Your journey doesn't have to be evidence of failure. It could be evidence of like massively supporting your goal of impact. Your experience might lead you into tenfold impact. Like if Corinne hadn't had the experience she had with her 100-pound weight loss journey, she would not have the impact she has now. So like having lost that 100 pounds was probably the best thing that ever happened to her, which means she had to have gained it.
Truth.
I want you to see that your impact, you have no clue how much impact you can have if you use this tool to create even more impact. Like if your body was your superpower and you were like the incredible steward of it and not so worried about the scale as the only measure of stewardship, but all the other parts of Nobias too, imagine the unthinkable amount of impact you could have.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's so good to have a question like that right here at the end. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you. So as we say goodbye, everyone, I just want to say thank you so much. That was such a beautiful ending from Lori. You all, you have so much power to impact each other. Find an accountability partner. Contribute to the conversation in the 100-pound group in Facebook. Let's keep this dialogue going. So oftentimes, those of us who identify as having 100 pounds to lose, we feel like we're on an island of shame and embarrassment and don't want to be noticed. But this is our place. We are each other's people. Ashley and I are here for you, with you. We learn from you. We learn with you. We teach you. You teach us. This is like the gift of Nobias and the Nobias 100-pound group. Thank you so much for being here. It's my honor to be here with you. We love you all so much. Have a good day.